That is the beginning of discipleship. And the ability to be a disciple is to every day understand, every day submit, every day know, oh Lord, I need you. Can't do this on my own. Well, this is a time when we invite our children and volunteers to head back for Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. For those of us that are left, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We finished up last week a series on the Great Commission and being disciples and making disciples and teaching and baptizing them and understanding that the ability to do this great task of discipleship, of being a disciple and making disciples, comes from the presence of the Lord. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. He doesn't call us to be disciples and figure it out on our own. He doesn't call us to be disciples and learn how and be able to do what disciples should do on our own, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own understanding. He is here with us. Then also the making of disciples is above and beyond our ability and our pay grade. It's got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's got to be empowered by the Word of God. It only comes through the working of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Jesus. But we've got to submit ourselves to it. And as I begin to pray about and think about, okay, where do we go next with this idea of discipleship and being a disciple? And with parent-child dedication coming up next week and Father's Day coming up after that, and I just felt like that this is the time when we need to focus on the very first place that our discipleship should be evident. That's in the home. The fact that we are a fully devoted follower of Christ, that we are someone that is in love with Jesus and pursuing Him, should be evident first and foremost in our most intimate relationships. That's the relationships of the home. Spouses, parent-child, and just living out our love for God as we love and live with each other. This is the probably the most difficult area. This is probably the most attacked area in the world today, is the family. Satan is destroying the family. Satan is constantly attacking the family because he understands that the family, the marriage relationship and the family, is a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church and Christ and individuals. That it's the foundation not only for society, but it's the foundation for the church and for godliness. The home is the most important institution that there is. So if he can destroy the home, if he can get disciples derailed in their relationships with their family, it will cause the rest of their relationships to not be right. It will cause their witness to be destroyed. It will cause their facade to crumble down with the world. It is most important that we live out our relationship with the Lord first and foremost with and in our family. Now, this letter that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he's writing to believers. He's writing to a church that's doing pretty well. They've got some problems, but he's encouraging them to follow and continue in this walk with God, continue in this process, this journey of discipleship, this process of becoming the people that Jesus died to save them to become. And you can't look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, without understanding the context in which it's written. Most of the time we want to pull it out of context and we want to talk about what husbands should do and what wives should do and what children should do and all this, but we forget the context. But the context is most important because it's in that context that we understand the importance of this role, these roles in the home. So I want us to back up just a few pages, just back up a few chapters and get just a little bit of taste of background and understanding for where we're going in chapter 5. So if you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. He's talking about first in the church, and then he's talking about throughout our lives, living out our faith. And then eventually in chapter 5, he brings it home to the family relationship. So in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, "To me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what was the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places." Paul says, look, what you're doing and what God is doing in you is not just for you. It's not just for the church. It's not even just for the lost in this world. It's so that Satan and the angels who rebelled against him could see the unfathomable, unconditional love of God for those who will repent and surrender. He's giving a witness not just to the world, but to all of creation, the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says this, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which has been you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." He's talking about in the church. He said, look, the church is the witness to the world. There should be a love for God, a love for each other. We should walk in a manner worthy of the gospel in which we've been called. Not living out our lives like we want to. Not being hard-headed. Not being strong-willed. Not being self-reliant. But living under the authority of Jesus Christ. Then again in 4:22 through 24. "That in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." He goes from a witness to the world, that we are the witness or to the heavenly places and the heavenly authorities. Then we're a witness to the world through the church. Then he says, we individually must put on the new self. Put off the old self. We've individually got to be changed if we're going to experience this. And then in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." He says, look, this newness of life can only be done when we surrender ourselves and be imitators of God. And then in chapter 5, verse 21, leading directly into our passage for today, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, in the respect for Christ, in the reverence of Christ, we are to be subject to one another." Now it gets to the family. Verse 22 says, "Wives, be subject to your own household, or husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water and with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their wives as his own bodies, as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall join himself to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Let's pray. Lord God, I come to you this morning, Lord, asking for, again, your anointing. Lord, because this is a difficult passage to teach, but it is one that is so necessary for our world today, for your church today, for our families today. God, the enemy is attacking our families. But God, our enemy is attacking through the people that make it up. Husbands have forgotten what it means to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives have forgotten what it means to submit, to live in submission to their husband. Lord, we have neglected these truths because we are strong-willed, and God, we want to hold on to what we think is right rather than submitting to your authority and the roles that you've given us. So God, I pray today that, Lord, in the tenderness of your Spirit, but in the power of your Word, God, you would open our eyes. You would help us to see that we are responsible for the witness, not only to the world. We are responsible to be a witness to Satan and his angels, to the difference, the power that you have to transform lives, to show grace, to bring glory. But God, it begins in our homes. Lord, I know I have failed in so many ways. And God, even this week, as I prepared and prayed and studied, God, you began to deal in my own heart with my struggles at being a godly leader and what it means to loving my wife like you love me. So God, I pray today that in the weakness of our flesh and the necessity of the moment, God, you would meet us with power and truth and love and conviction and transformation. Rescue us, O God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul is writing this letter to the church, and he's telling them what it means to live transformed lives and what it means to follow Christ and all that entails and all the different relationships in the church, in the world, outside the church, in our homes. And he's trying to help them see that everything about our lives, everything about our spirit is a witness to the world and to the rulers in heavenly places. We are to be the example of what God can do in the lives of people who surrender and submit themselves to Him. And this submission that he talks about here in verse 21, we are to submit ourselves to one another. It goes along the theme of the whole Bible. We are to be in submission to God and to submission to the roles and the authorities that He's put in place. He tells us to submit to the rulers or the government that He's placed over us. We're to submit to them. We're to be good citizens. We're to live out our discipleship with God by being the best citizens that the world has ever seen. We're to submit to the authority of the government. We're to submit to the authority of church leaders. He tells us just in chapter 2 of Ephesians that he has created leadership, chapter 4, that he's given the leadership of the church to help unify in the faith and to develop discipleship and to grow and to be an example to the world of what it means when the body of Christ is unified around the purpose and the person of Christ. We're to submit to one another, but it all begins, like Scott so eloquently said today in Sunday school. Man, it's amazing how God just brings everything all together. It all begins with our submission to Christ. If we don't get our submission to Christ right, then we'll never be able to fulfill the role that He has called us and saved us to walk in. And it's so important. You can't be the husband that you're supposed to be until you are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and understand this love that He has given for us and the responsibility that He has given us, as He talks about in these passages and in other passages. You can't be the wife that God saved you to be until you are submitted to Him. And when you're submitted to Him, submission to the authority that He's placed in your husband is so much easier. And when we get our submission right, first to God, and then to one another, man, what a glorious example we are to the world. What a glorious example we are in our relationship to God. But just like I said about discipleship, submission ain't easy. To submit to Christ, to submit to one another, is not easy. It goes against everything in our spirit. It goes against everything in our upbringing. We are Americans, by golly. We don't submit to nobody. We've got our rights, and by golly, I'm going to stand on my rights. I'm going to declare my rights. I'm going to hold on to my rights, come hell or high water. See, the problem is, when we submit to Christ, when we surrender to Christ, we surrender our rights. See, this is something we don't like, and I don't like a lot of times. But I know it's the best because I've seen it worked out. As a child of God, you have no rights. That goes against everything you've been taught throughout school, from your mom, from your dad, from everything about us as Americans. When we submit to Jesus Christ, we submit to Him everything. We're saying, God, I may have the right to do something, but just because I have the right, I'm going to surrender that right to You and trust You to guide me into what's best for Your glory and for my witness. We got to surrender it all. And that's what He's talking about. Paul is talking about we are to submit ourselves to one another. We're submit ourselves to Christ first, to His purpose first, and then to one another. And then specifically, he tells us how we're to live out this submission to one another in these passages in the family. So I want us to look at a difficult topic, one that the world hates to listen to and hates to hear. And I'm just going to be honest, many in the church don't want to hear. It's a struggle in today's society to talk about submission and the biblical understanding of submitting to one another, of leadership and authority and the roles that God has ordained for men and women in the home and children in the home. Our society is fighting against that tooth and nail, and way too many in the church are fighting against it too. If we understand, if we believe, if we really believe that this is the Word of God and that God is true and never makes a mistake, then His Word is true and we must submit to His Word and try to live it out in our families and in our relationships. So let's look at it. And I hope that we can be enlightened a little bit today of what it means to submit to one another. He says in verse 21, he begins with, or 22, he says to the wives, in context of verse 21, be subject to one another in the fear or the respect of Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as to the Lord. This is a submission. This is not a slavery. It's not a tyrannical slavery of doing whatever he tells you to do. This is a voluntary submission to the authority that God has ordained in the husband in the relationship of the home. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. He's very specific. Wives, it's something that only you can do. Only you can choose to be submissive to your husband. Now, this doesn't mean that whatever he says, you're going to do. This submission is, just like in other places where he talks we're to submit to one another, is we are to respect one another. It's out of love and honor for your husband. I choose to love my husband, is what it says. You choose to honor your husband. You choose to help him become everything that God wants him to be as the leader of the home. It doesn't mean that you have no voice. It doesn't mean that you don't have a say. It doesn't mean that you are in slavery to your husband. That is not what it means. But what it does mean is that God, I understand that you have called me to submit myself to my own husband. Now, how does that look? Number one, it looks by always choosing to honor your husband rather than to dog him out. One of the worst things that a wife can do is air the dirty laundry in their relationship to her friends, on social media, at the hair salon, at Walmart, when you're sitting around drinking coffee. To submit to your husband means to honor your husband. And you can't honor your husband if you're talking him down to everybody that'll listen. It's choosing to speak well of your husband. It's choosing to focus on the good things, the godly aspects of him, not focusing on his weaknesses. We all struggle. That's why it's so hard in the marriage relationship to be submissive to one another, because nobody knows my dirty laundry like my wife. You know my public persona. You don't know all my weaknesses. You don't know all my struggles. You don't know all my hang-ups. You don't know the ways that I sin in my own life, in my relationship to my wife. You don't get to see that. So it's hard to submit to someone that you know so well, because you know their flaws, you know their failures, you know their weaknesses. But when we submit to God, we say, God, my value is in you. And this is what I want you to hear in this. Submission doesn't mean that you're less valuable than your husband. God tells us through Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, there is no difference in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ. He says that there is no Greek, no Jew. There is no male nor female. There are no free or slave, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He says the value of a person isn't what he's talking about. To be in submission to someone else doesn't mean you're less valuable than them, doesn't mean you have less to contribute than them, doesn't mean you have less to do with the well-being or the success of your home or your marriage. That has nothing to do with value. It's understanding the role that God has put you in. And what God says, this is what a wife should do. A wife should submit to her own husband. That means quit trying to make your husband out to be the person you see in the movie or you read in the Harlequin romance. Quit comparing your husband to somebody else's husband, because you don't know the weaknesses and the failures of them. All you get to see is their public persona. And you think, man, if my husband just treated me like he treats her, well, you don't know how he treats her behind closed doors. You just see what we want you to see. Quit saying, I wish my husband would do this. I wish my husband was that. And focus on that your husband is the man that you love and you cherish and you want to see prosper in the role that God has given him. That's what it means to honor your husband, to submit yourself to your husband. It's not slavery, it's honoring and respect. I'm telling you, there's nothing that men need more today than wives who honor them and respect them, build them up instead of tear them down. Because the society that we live in today is saying the worst thing in the world you can be is a man. A masculine man. We need to be effeminate. We need to be softer. God created us to be men. And we need wives that will affirm that and encourage that. Not try and make us out to be some long-haired, muscled-up, sissy guy from a novel that you read. Honor your husband. Submit to him as unto the Lord. See, you're not submitting to him because he's perfect. You're not submitting to him because he's got it all together. You're not even submitting to him because he's worthy of submitting to. You're submitting to him because you are submission to the Lord. And the Lord says you're to honor, respect, submit to your husband. Encourage him. Help him become the godly leader that God wants him to be. Encourage him. Be his cheerleader. Be the glue that holds the family together. Do what God created you to do. Nurture. I'm telling you, there's nobody needs more nurturing than men. Man, we thrive. We thrive to know that we are the knight in shining armor, even when our armor's a little tarnished. We thrive on knowing that our wives always have our back, that we can trust that when they're out, they're not going to be talking about all the mistakes I make. They're going to be talking about how I'm working hard to do what's right. Accentuating the positive, minimizing the negative. That's what it means to submit to your husband. That doesn't mean you're less valuable. Doesn't mean you have a word to say. I promise you. My wife has a lot to say about how we do in our house. And you need to as a wife. Because we need to hear your opinion. We need to hear your perspective. It doesn't mean you don't have a voice. It doesn't mean that you can't say what you think. It just means that ultimately, when it comes down to it, your responsibility to God is to submit to whatever decisions that ultimately your husband makes. We don't like that. But isn't that what Christ says we're supposed to do to him? Even though I don't like what he tells me to do, even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not what I want to do, because I'm submitting to him, I'm going to do that. That's why he says, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Because God has created an order in the family. And when we live within the order of the family, then God will be glorified. The family, the home, will be much better. He says, verse 23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, here again, that doesn't mean the taskmaster. It doesn't mean the one who tells her what to do, when to jump, and how high. That is not what that means. Just as the head directs the body, just as Christ leads the church, the husband is to lead the family, to lead the family into righteousness, to lead the family to follow God. It says, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. He's not talking about the husband. Husbands, we can't save our wives. We can't save our families. He's helping us understand that Christ is the head of the church, and he's the only one that saves. He is the Savior. He is Lord. He is King. He is God. So his way is the best way. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. It's an understanding that God says, look, men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the home. And wives, your role in the home is just and even more valuable in honoring that husband, building that husband up, helping him become the godly leader that he needs to be. And sometimes that means calling him out when he's wrong. Sometimes that means at home, when you're having those discussions, the decisions being made, you lay out, hey, this is where it's going to hurt. This is where it's going to cause problems. This is what I see in this decision we're about to make. We've got choices, and if we make the wrong choice, it's going to have repercussions that maybe you hadn't thought about. It means being that check, that rebuke at times. When you see them getting off out in left field, being that encourager. Now, a rebuke is not a bad thing if it's said the right way. Not nagging. But be an equipper for your husband. So he tells the wife, you're submit to your own husband, not to other people's husbands. You're not to honor them. You're not to lift them up on a pedestal. But put your husband on a pedestal. Even in his faults and his frailties, help him become the man that God saved him and wants him to be. That's why he says, in another passage or another book, Paul says, look, if you're married and you're both lost and one of you gets saved, wives, if you have an unbelieving husband, stay with him. Who knows that your gentle spirit and your godliness might get him saved. If he wants to leave, then let him leave. If he says, no, I can't live with a Christian, I can't stand this love, I can't stand this encouragement, I can't stand this godliness because there's no compatibility between God and Satan, good and evil, it's a struggle. But if that husband or wife wants to leave that's unbelieving, then you let them leave. But if they're willing to stay, you stay with them. And you love them. You submit to them. You honor them. You be the godly leader in your family if you're the husband to an unbelieving wife. So we are to submit. We are to love. We are to encourage. We are to help one another become who Christ died so that we become. Then he goes into verse 25. He says a lot more to the husbands than he did to the wives. So husbands, let's look at what he says we're supposed to do. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and with the word, that he might present to himself a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. He says, husbands, this is how you lead. Not as a tyrant. Not in demanding servitude. But a sacrificial leader. He says, husbands, you love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husband, we're not to demand obedience from our wives. We're to love them in such a way that following us is a joy. That following us leads them closer to Jesus Christ. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Most of us would take a bullet for our wives. But will you lay down your preference so that your wife can see Jesus in you? Will you lay down your right to be right so that she'll see the love and compassion of Christ in you? See, you can't lead your family until you are following well. Lecrae, that great theologian of today, says you can't lead until you learn to follow. And when they follow me, they will follow the one I follow. So husband, are you leading your wives and your family to the love and the unconditional love of God? Are you leading them even when and loving them even when they're not lovable and it doesn't seem like they're submitting well? See, here's the pitfall. Here's the trap that we all get into. And this is where I had to deal with some things in my own life, in my own relationship to my wife this past week. And see, I begin focusing on what she's not doing rather than what I'm not doing. Notice the command that Paul is writing to the wives and to the husbands. He says, wives, you submit yourself to your own husband. Husband, you love your wife like Christ loved the church. See, the problem is, I don't want to focus on what I'm supposed to do. I want to focus on what she's not doing. And she don't want to focus on what she's supposed to do. She wants to focus on what I'm not doing. And when I start trying to make them be what God wants them to be, I cannot be who I'm supposed to be. I'm not responsible for my wife's submission. That's why God said, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Whether she's being submissive or not, are you loving her like Christ loved the church? Are you laying down yourself and your wants because even though she doesn't deserve it, are you loving her like Christ loved the church? Because I want to tell you what, Christ loves you even when you're not being submissive to Him. Christ works for your good even when you're in rebellion. Christ loves you unconditionally. Husband, that's what it means to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Quit focusing on what she's not doing and you love her in the middle of what she's not doing. Wives, quit focusing on what your husband's not doing and you submit to him and you love him in spite of what he's not doing. That's how Christ loves you. And we've got this crazy idea that my joy, my happiness, and the quality of our marriage comes from her doing what she's supposed to do or him doing what he's supposed to. They're not making me happy. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, so I must be married to the wrong person. That's always a question that comes up in relationships. And husbands and wives, if you're honest, you've asked that question before. When things aren't going well, man, am I married to the right person? John Piper gave a perfect answer to that question, and I'm so thankful that he did. He said, you want the test to see how if you married the right person? You want to know how to know if you married the right person or not? Did you say I do? Pure and simple. If you said I do, then that's the right one. Now, you may have chose poorly. You may have chose somebody that's not saved, and that happens all the time. The Bible specifically says, do not be unequally yoked, and it's talking about being married to unbelievers. But we have chosen to be married to unbelievers and be unequally yoked, but that doesn't give you an out. If you said, I do, you said, I do to God, not just to your spouse. And that is the right one. And you are responsible to God to love them like Christ loved the church, husband. Wives, you are responsible for submitting to them and encouraging them and building them up and honor and respecting them. Irrelevant of how well they're doing their part. That's not your business. That's not your responsibility. That's God's. And I promise you, God does a whole lot better job of spanking them than you can. God does a whole lot better job of getting them in line than you can. See, what your and my focus must be is what is my role according to God's Scripture, and am I living out that role in submission to Christ? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means even when they don't deserve it, even when they're not making you happy, you love her. And just like Christ loves us and pours into us and unconditionally loves us so that we can grow up into holiness and righteousness, we're to love our wives even when they're being boneheads in such a way that they grow up and they see our love and our irrational response to the way they're acting or what they're doing or what they're saying, and they are convicted by the Holy Spirit, not by you. Or your husband is not following God in this stage in his life, and he's not trying to lead this family. He's making some terrible mistakes. You love him, you submit to him, you honor him, you respect him, you encourage him so that God can use your words, your love, your unconditional love to convict them of their sin and the mess they're making. See, that's God's responsibility, not mine. And man, I've had to repent. I have had to deal with things in my own life because I so easily want to focus on what Randa is not doing. or what I think she ought to be doing. Instead of focusing on all the wonderful, godly things that she does. And if we focus on the negative, it's going to be negative. We're going to easily say, I just need to find another spouse and do what God hates, divorce. Now, I do want to give a caveat here. If there is physical danger, if your life or the life of your children is at stake, leave. Get out. But always pray that God will change their heart and be ready to reconcile. God's desire is reconciliation always. Always reconciliation. But it takes two for that. So be praying. See, our discipleship is lived out first and foremost in our most intimate relationships. Our discipleship is first and foremost a submission to God and then a submission to the authority and the roles that He has established in the world, in the church, and in our home. Living in submission to Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to be an example of what it means to be a person who is fully devoted to Christ and trusting Him for everything. That He gives me my value. He gives me my joy. He gives me my hope. He gives me my happiness. And you're there to help the other person in your relationship to become everything God wants them to be. And that's going to take a lot of love, a lot of forgiveness. It's going to take a lot of work because we're all sinners. We all struggle and we all fail. But that's no excuse to give up. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Focus on the good things. Be his greatest cheerleader. Encourage him so that he can be the man that God saved him to be. Respect him. Rebuke him when he needs it. Talk through situations and decisions. Give your opinion. And when he says, this is what I think we need to do, submit. Trust God for the rest. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Laid himself, gave himself up for them. Love her in her faults. Love her in her rebellion. Love her in her hard-headedness. Love her. Get your joy from the Lord. Get your hope from God. Get your encouragement and your value from Him. Not how much she throws herself at you. I don't want to finish until I read the very last part, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. You are responsible for you, not your spouse. So here's the question. Have you based your happiness on how well your spouse is keeping up their part? Have you based your behavior towards your spouse on how much they deserve it? Or are you passionately pursuing your role that God's given you? Are you passionately pursuing surrendering yourself first to Christ and living out your love for Him by living out your role in the relationship that God has established in your home? If you're focused on the other person, what they're not doing, most of the time that's because we don't want to focus on what we're not doing. Maybe today just needs to be a day that we refocus ourselves and our relationship. Now, if you're here and you've never been married, or you're not married, you're thinking about getting married, you're single, this is a word for you. Because if God has a marriage in your future, it can only be what God wants it to be when you surrender to Him and surrender to the role that He's established in the home. And when you do that, the home is such a beautiful place. Even when the other one isn't doing their part. That's why that old idea that marriage is 50-50 is a load of bunk. It's usually about 90-10. Sometimes she's doing 90, I'm doing 10. Sometimes I'm doing 90 and she's doing 10. Usually depends on who you ask. But see, what I need to focus on, am I being 100? It's all that matters. How my spouse is acting, how my spouse is living, I'm not responsible for that, other than I'm not leading her or him to righteousness. You are responsible for your role. You will be held accountable for that. Husbands, you'll be held accountable for how you led in godliness. How did you love your wife, even when she didn't seem lovable? Wives, you'll be held accountable for how you submitted to your husband, even when he wasn't worth submitting to. You'll be held accountable for yours. I'll be held accountable for mine. But God is able through it all. Let's pursue Him. Let's love Him. Let's submit to Him and to His role that He saved you to. Let's be this glorious example to the world of what it means to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's best shown through the marriage family relationship. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, I want to encourage you. Jesus loves you unconditionally. He wants the best for you. He died so that you could know the forgiveness of your sins, that you could know the power of the Creator living in and through you, living to a life that's full. But it takes surrender. It takes submitting to His authority every day in everything. But oh, what a wonderful life it is when we live an intimate, personal, dynamic, beautiful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Submit to Him today. Then He'll teach you how to live the full life He came to bring. Let's stand.